This is Soho Radio. With BB Lynch.
Hello, everyone. What a beautiful day. It's as beautiful as Trump visiting the UK again. Yes, what fabulous news for everyone. Well, everyone except fat babies with jaundice. Hey, I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to BB Does Soho on your fantastic Soho Radio. I'm all yours the next 2 hours. Shall we do it?
That'll teach us to be.
That was really bad. Do you think that went out?
That's your Well, it's your fault for choosing a record with a sudden ending.
Well, what's that noise?
Song.
Okay. All right. Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. I'm Bibi Lynch, and that was Stereo MCs and Step It Up. Hey, how are you? What's been happening to me? Oh, my God, Nick, right. I'm not sure if I should say this.
Yeah, go on.
But I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. So this Easter, we had a big family gathering. It was really lovely. And a friend was there, a family friend was there, and she was telling me that she'd had a boob reduction, and then the surgeon messed it up, and I don't know if you're ready for this, she had to go back to have her areola scraped.
I can't believe scraped that the first scraped link away. Of the entire show, this is
scraped
what you're talking
away.
About.
If, would you have plastic surgery?
Maybe.
What would you have done?
Well, it depends how bad the injury was. No, I'd have reconstructive surgery.
Oh, well, so you wouldn't, you think you're so handsome.
No.
You are good looking.
I'm not.
You are good looking.
I didn't mean it in that way.
What do you think you are out of 10? No, you do. You do. I know what you think you are.
You have no idea what you
Let me tell you about today's show. Our first guest is MC.
We're all on the hop now. We missed the end of the record.
I know. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, everyone.
What were we chatting about?
I was
about?
Talking about your
My
sweatshirt,
top,
saying
yes.
It looked international. Our first guest is MC.
Because I'm a citizen of nowhere.
I know, you really are. Yeah. Our first guest is MC, dancer, spoken word artist, and hip hop legend, Jonzy D. Jonzy will be here telling us about Breaking Convention, the hip hop dance festival at Sadler's Wells, and all about his Soho. And in the second hour, we'll be joined by writer, director, actor, Patrick Lynch. What a lovely name.
Fine name.
Here to tell us about his new comedy, Gone with the Wendy. Can't wait, so please join in. Really going to be funny. Tweet at Soho Radio and at Bibi Lynch. Tweet and say hello. Or tweet and tell me what you'd get reduced.
Hit me!
There's not a minute to spare.
A long time ago. Don't you see how late they're reacting? They only come and they come when they wanna. So get the morgue truck and then bomb the corner. They don't care cause they stay paid anyway. They treat you like an ace that can't feed the tray. I know you stumble with no use people. If your life is on the line, then you're dead today. Latecomers with the latecomers treasure. That's a body bag in disguise, y'all, I'll bet ya. I call them body snatchers cause they come to fetch you with an autopsy ambulance just to dissect ya. They are the king cause they swing amputations. Arms and legs of them is compilation. I can prove it to you, watch the rotation. It all adds up to a fucking situation. So get up and get down. 911 is joking your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up and get down. 911 is joking your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Job never being done. He would have been in full effect. The late 911 was a joke. Cause y'all are joking. A day to go until your life when it's broken. You need to be in a pawn shop on him. 911 is a joke. We don't want him. I call a cow cause the cow will come quicker. The doctors huddle up and call a flea flicker. Reason why I say that cause they flick you up like fleas. They be laughing at you while you're crawling on your knees. Or to the stream. So go to limp. Thinking you are first when you really are dim. You better wake up and smell a real flavor. Cause 911 is a fake lifesaver. So get up and get down. 911 is joking your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up and get down. 911 is joking your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown?
The This is BB Does Soho on Soho Radio Culture, SohoRadioLondon.com. And click on Culture. And we have an app, an actual app. Go to the App Store. How do you like them apples? And search for Soho Radio.
Sounds like you know what you're talking about.
Have you ever met Jack Nicholson?
I've never met Jack Nicholson.
Search for Soho. How do you like them apples? And that was Public Enemy and 911 is a joke. Guess what? Our first guest is here. Welcome to Soho Radio. MC, dancer, spoken word artist and hip-hop legend, Jonesy D.
I'm clapping as well.
You must. You took your glasses off. You're beautiful.
Thank you so much, man. I think my glasses are beautiful as well.
They really are lovely. No, that's rude. How rude. Are they prescription?
They're definitely prescription.
Are they? What are you?
Short-sighted. But I also cannot read, yeah? So I need varifocals. I think I need trifocals, because I can't see far, near...
Anything now. There must be a sweet spot somewhere.
It's about 2 foot away.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
That is perfect. I can see my fingerprints.
Mark that. Getting old's great, isn't it?
I love it. I will just say right now, I am turning 50.
You are not.
Yeah, 50. No oil of ole. Yeah. Just very, very fresh vegetable juice every morning.
Is that true?
That's it.
Are you lying to me?
I'm not even lying. And being happy as well.
You're being... What is that? I know that word. What does it mean?
Yeah, it's an affliction that comes from being in the sun for a bit.
Are you... how are you feeling about 50?
It feels scary, yeah? I'm not going to lie. I'll just be honest, yeah? I worry about having midlife crises. I worry about not wanting to wear tight trousers. I wear baggy clothes. I am a 90s hip-hopper. And that's
it.
So I feel like I'm getting a bit wrong and strong as I get older as well.
Oh, wrong and strong.
Baggy's coming back, though.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
He's just talking about my ass. Tell Jonesy about the time you rang me up to tell me I was fat.
That didn't happen, and I'm not going to talk about that.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
It's a bit hurtful.
And what's wrong with fat?
There's nothing wrong with fat, but how did you just call me fat?
I did not call you
fat. Oh, this
is
going well.
You see,
with a PH.
Thank you. Okay. I wanted to... Well, Retreat, well done, you. I've seriously stopped saying it. You just, I'm going to hit your face. Nick thinks he's a 9 out of 10. So we're here to talk about Breaking Convention 2019, and it's the world-acclaimed International Festival of Hip-Hop Dance Theatre at Sadler's and Lillian Bayliss from May 3rd to May the 5th. This is the 16th year. Does it feel like 16 years?
It doesn't. It really doesn't. I look back over the years, and they all start to roll into one... like, three festivals will be one festival in my memory, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it actually feels like I've done about 7 or 8. What's exciting about it is that every time it's done, there's the same feeling of dread and fear and excitement that happens about 2 months before doing it, when I have to commit to the programme.
Yeah.
That's it. Once it's done, I can't go back.
Yeah.
So that's a bit scary. But when it's actually happening,
yeah,
it's just elation, man. It's just fun. The audience is so into it. We've been doing it for 16 years, so the audience gets it now.
Yeah.
The first time we did it, absolutely crazy. 2004. I thought that hip-hop theatre was some hardcore over 18 stuff, yeah? Remember hip-hop at that time had a lot of stickers on every album that come out. Parental guidance advice, yeah? So I was kind of making work in that realm. I did a show called Lyrical Theatre, and there was a piece called Safe, which was basically about censorship, self-censorship. And I performed it at the very first Breaking Convention. In the afternoon. Yeah.
Daylight.
It was about 6 o'clock. And as I started, and there was a few bits where I swear in the show, and I won't swear now because I heard that Soho Radio is just really decent.
Oh my God, it's beyond decent. It's fucking decent.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't it?
Okay. So I did this piece, and it was that word, decent. And there was a lot of swearing in it, and all of a sudden I just hear in the audience, "Shut up, there's kids here." And then people started booing me.
No way.
At my own gig. The very first one. And it was then that I realised hip-hop is not just for adults. Hip hop is for the whole family.
Which is a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful
thing. I came along a couple of years ago and I loved it. I had absolute ball. I just thought it was fantastic. And we're going to the... It's not my hour. But we'll go into it in a bit later. Why did you create the festival 16 years ago? And the reasons you created it, do they still apply today?
Yes. The reason why I did it is because I wanted to prove to the whole world that hip hop deserves respect when it comes to it as a craft. Yeah. The dance in hip hop is so idiosyncratic. Everybody that does hip hop dance, it's up to you to learn the foundation of it and then add your own twist to it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Everybody in hip hop, that's what you do. Mm. So it invariably creates real contemporary dance, as in this is the dance of today because it's being made as we speak.
Yeah.
So the context of theatre is somewhere where we haven't normally seen it. Yeah. And I trained at London Contemporary Dance School, and they used to talk a lot about new dance, and I thought to myself, the new dance is not classical ballet.
Mm.
The word tells you what classical ballet is.
Yeah.
And also the contemporary dance that we were doing at the time was pioneered by people who were dancing in the 30s, 40s and 50s. So for me, the argument was we are doing contemporary dance as hip hop. So it was about showing the world what the potential of hip hop can be. And it still applies now because still people don't quite get it. Yeah. Still people refer to it as, oh yeah, that's that stuff that you just do in the corners, or that's that stuff that you you practice on your own. It's not that. It's a community-based culture. It's based upon each one teach one. There are literally schools, as in old school and new school. Mm. There are levels of grading. There's whole context where there's very distinct judging practices in relation to reading the dance. You know what I mean? So all of these.
So, like
things,
in ballroom, there's ways of marking that in hip hop as well.
Exactly.
It's so interesting. Do you think the kind of, not the style of dance, but the content of the dance has changed, of dances changes now in terms of what's happening in the world? That the world, you know, has. Do you know what I mean? It seems a bit like the world's gone to the right. Well, it's totally gone to the right. It's gone populist and it's mayhem. And it feels like end of day, she says in a cheery way on a Thursday. So are your acts reflecting that, do you think?
I think they are. I think what hip-hop reflects is the antithesis of all of that stuff that you're seeing out there. Because whenever you go to a hip-hop jam, you see all of these people that are meant to be fighting and hating each other, that we read about in the papers all the time. Go to a hip-hop jam, you'll see us all dancing together, emceeing together, battling, but without the guns, without the bombs, without the tear gas. Do you know what I mean? So hip-hop is addressing that simply by doing what it does. Do you know what I mean? If you come to Brighton Convention, it's an international festival.
Yeah.
We've got people from all over the world there. Do you know what I mean? We've got people from South Korea. Trust me, North Korean B-boys. That's what I'm after.
Wow.
That is what I'm after. And trust me, I said it here. It's going to happen.
Do they exist?
Yes, they do. Mainly because it's just so close to the border. Do you know what I mean? There's no way that that's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and I think people really like to create this illusion of division. Guys, we can't fall for it. Yeah? We cannot fall for it. And I think that the media is really pushing this thing about division on us. But my reality is not what I'm seeing in the media. And we have to keep talking loudly about our reality.
Yeah. Definitely. You so you host and curate.
I do.
And you said you get that dread, like that's from my thought, oh my God. I think that's how men feel when I say yes to a date.
I can understand.
Sorry to talk about other men, Nick, in your company. How do you choose your acts?
Because that must
be a nightmare. A joyful nightmare.
It's a joyful nightmare, but to be honest with you, I'm gonna say it. I find it easy.
Do you? Yeah.
And the reason being is because there's loads of good stuff out there. Do you know what I mean? And because I soak this culture up, do you know what I mean? Particularly the hip-hop theatre part of it. I go to a lot of festivals around the world just looking for work. And it's just exciting, all of the stuff that's coming out. There is a difficulty in that I don't know what to choose. But I don't struggle with looking for stuff to choose from. Do you know what I mean?
But it must be hard to kind of say no to people love because that, there's no space.
Oh, dude, that's the worst.
That's kind of worse in a way.
Listen, I just want to tell all them people out there that didn't get through to Brighton Convention this year, it was a tough one.
It was a tough. Was it a tough one? Does it get tougher?
It does get tougher because, okay, so on the one hand, there's the programming aspect where I basically reach out to people that have got shows already. And then there's the other level, which is the auditions. Yeah? That is tough, yeah, because we have to whittle it down via video. And then once that's down, we've all of the work that we've whittled down is good. Do you know what I mean? All of it, I think, could be
is amazing
on the stage. Yeah, you know what I mean? And then we've got to whittle that down.
Yeah.
And we usually end up with 10% of what has been auditioned.
Yeah. So you go around the world. Yes. Is the hip-hop dance scene as big around the world? I mean, I'm guessing it's huge. Well, it is huge here, I'm guessing, in America, but in...
Yes. Anywhere on Earth where there is a TV...
Not my bedroom, but anyway.
Not in your bedroom. So there's no break-in in your bedroom.
Well, oh, this is my back. Don't start. You're going to regret that.
No windmilling, no head spinning. Surely you
must
head spin.
It's like the Exorcist.
Have you ever done any breakdancing?
Excuse me?
I just wondered. You never...
Can you eat? We've got a new rule. If you want to talk, you put your hand up.
Putting my hand up. Have you ever tried?
Can you imagine? Jesus, this body can hardly walk.
We're
going
to have to work on it. We're going to have to work, on it. I'm not convinced, man.
So
so there's a company at Sadler's Wells called the Company of Elders.
Yeah.
And I have done some workshops with them, and they are over 60. And they have been doing hip-hop dance and rapping. You're so far from that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but there's space away. For that. There's space
but
for
just
that.
Just letting you know.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a video the other day that was going viral of some seniors in Japan.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
There's a whole crew of them, right?
Yeah.
Well, it must keep you fit.
Yeah.
It must keep you fit.
Tony Basil.
Oh,
I'm so happy to. I met her last year.
Did you?
I met her last year. I was in LA. A dance competition called Freestyle Sessions, and she was there, and she's lovely because
she's got so
much flavor still. I don't know exactly how old she is. Anybody want to hazard a guess?
Yeah, 74, 75, something.
Whoa.
Like that.
Whoa,
yeah. She's got that groove, man. So, you know, I just think that I think this dance can be healing, actually.
Oh, I love this. If I had to do an exercise, I would do dance. I'm going to do it.
If you had to do
If I'm choosing an exercise for the ones that... No, I'm going
to
stop it. You're ganging off me. I don't like this. So you've got all this like amazing choice, but do you have anything... Is there a remit in your head for what you want?
Yes. I feel as though we've kind of messed... I have messed myself up for calling it Breaking Convention. Because I always think about what have we not done?
Yeah.
What country have we not featured before? And we've been able to keep that up. I think there was one year we might have slipped a little bit, but generally that's the trick. You know, how do we break convention? So when choosing artists, I want to see something that I haven't seen before sometimes. Do you know what I mean? BB
is
your breaking
moment.
Convention right now.
By sitting here and having Jack Daniels silk cart crossing my legs.
This is going to be the first performance where somebody's going to go on stage and not dance.
I think it's gold.
Just open a packet of crisps.
Another thing I love about Breaking Convention is your development initiatives. I think it's such a cool idea. And some of your acts are chosen from that, aren't they? So Back to the Lab, that's one of them.
Back to the Lab. Well, let's start actually with open art surgery.
Brilliant.
And that is basically about bringing groups of artists, who hip hop artists specifically, MCs as well as dancers, and basically find theatrical devices together. Because I think that there are some that we've had for many, many years, but I think within hip hop it's about finding new ones. So we spend some time, 5 days, to make a piece of 6 minutes, and then we present it in front of an audience, and the audience can then give feedback to the performance. But it's not all dry and crusty. I make sure it's fun and I MC it and stuff. So that's the first one that lasts for a week. And then we've got Back to the Lab, which we do every January. And that's about a deeper developmental process, whereas the first week we just share tools. We bring in man like Jonathan Burrows, who's quite known in the contemporary dance world. He's done ballet. He used to dance with the Royal Ballet and stuff. But he's just very experienced with dance, and he's very open to different forms. He loves roots reggae as well, which is a really interesting mix. But and also a guy called Ivan Blackstock. He's been doing a lot of great stuff. Ivan Blackstock, look out for him. Just tweet that name, Ivan Blackstock. He's doing some amazing work within hip-hop dance theatre at the moment. But yeah, what's exciting is that we're able to populate a significant amount of the programme as with these artists that have come through these
processes. That's the point of it, isn't it?
I think so.
That's
I
the point. So. Why hip-hop for you? What is... Why hip-hop over other genres?
I think it was the one that I grew up with. I grew up with reggae and soul music and a bit of calypso as well through coming out of a Grenadian family.
Yeah.
And my older brothers, they were pretty much into either reggae or soul. Actually, one of my brothers was into marching band music, actually. He was a
really?
Drummer. Another one of them was a bugler as well. For the Redcoats, that's what their name was, the Redcoats, and they were based in Poplar, East London.
Okay.
We're talking back in the day. Back in the day.
When we could afford coats.
And basically, they when hip-hop came about, it looked like a fusion of the two of those cultures. Because the music itself, the speaking fast, the rap side of it, was what I recognise in reggae music. The toasting. And also the idea of breakbeats and DJs and stuff. It reminded me of reggae music, but with funk and with an American accent. Also, they were spinning on their heads. And I know my brothers ain't got time for that risk. But as a 13-year-old, that was all I wanted to do, man. That was such a great thing. So that was it. And what I am surprised about is how it stuck.
Yeah, with you.
I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is around puberty time. You'd have thought that by 25, I'd, you know, stop doing this stupid childish thing and get a proper job, you know, wear shoes and stuff like that. And but no, it never happened.
It spoke to you. It went into your soul. Yeah. So who are we going to see at Breaking Convention? So we got B-Boy Junior.
B-Boy Junior, arguably the most, not even arguably, factually, the most watched person, the most downloaded, streamed B-Boy. B-Boy Junior from France. He's doing a duet with a girl called Callie from Greece, which is really beautiful. They premiered it a couple of months ago, and they're doing it. They're premiering in the UK on the 5th. We also have Boy Blue. Boy Blue Entertainment.
I saw them when I came to see. Yeah, they're amazing.
They, for me, are the iconic hip-hop dance theatre company. They're based in East London, just down the road from where I grew up. Kenrick H2O Sandy, he's won awards all over the place. Their work is part of the national curriculum. I mean, it's just amazing stuff.
And they've won Olivier?
They got an Olivier as well. I'd like to shout out Bodis Sever. He's not doing Breaking Convention this year, but he got an Olivier Award very recently for dance.
That's
but
amazing.
He's someone that we've worked with in the context of open heart surgery and all that stuff as well. So that's really good. We also have Chloe Dean from the UK. We have Joshua Vendetta Nash. They're a crump duo, which is like crump dance is often seen as a very aggressive dance style, but it's very, very passionate. And we've got two guys doing a piece about toxic masculinity, which is very, very interesting. Definitely worth a look at. From Spain, as well, from part of the Back to the Lab thing, we've got Agnes Sales and Hector Plaza. And I probably didn't pronounce that properly, but whatever. But they're Catalonians, and they're going to be doing a lovely little duet. We've got the AIM Collective, all-female popping crew.
Oh, we've brilliant.
Got, yes. I mean,
is that rare?
Very tight. I wouldn't say it's that rare, because the year before we had a group from America called Femme Fatale, amazing crew. And the year before that, we had another female popping crew from France. So, you know, it's not really that rare, to be honest with you. But what is rare is having the very best crew in the whole world performing at Breaking Convention. Jinjo crew from South Korea. Yeah. Their whole crew is made up of champions. There's one guy called B-Boy Wing who has won 100 battles. I don't know anybody that's won 100 battles. Yeah. From Germany and the USA, we have WeWolf, which is a duet, a very intimate, almost knotted contortionism and beautiful symmetry within these guys' work. It's absolutely beautiful, definitely worth a look at. We have got Logistics, 16 years old.
Wow.
From America, but she is a child prodigy. She is one of the most amazing B-girls, but as well, her choreo is so tight. Usually it's one of them things where you could be an amazing B-boy or B-girl, but your choreo routine stuff maybe isn't as tight. But both of hers are on a level. She's definitely one to see. We have got as well Geometry Variable from France. Now, the French, they always have this knack of just breaking convention, yeah, and they do this amazing tutting routine, but it's kaleidoscopic. Yeah, they wear black,
yeah,
but their arms are shown, and most of the dance is the way in which their arms tut and connect with each other. I'm actually demonstrating.
You're doing
some of the work
it. I'm getting
right now.
It's like you're voguing.
I love it.
I'm so glad this has not been seen. I'm so glad, because anybody that knows the style knows I'm doing a terrible job.
No,
and I'm taking great. Advantage of the fact that these guys have not seen them before.
They look into us.
But it's better than that, what you just saw. We also have Reality.
Yeah.
She is a spoken word artist. Yeah, straight out of South London.
Yay.
And she's doing a piece with two dancers. Her work is very visceral, very, very strong work. And a lot of the work in the smaller studio, the Lillian Bayless space, it is a bit more challenging, we'll say. Everything, go to any part of Breaking Convention. If you want to just stand there and stare at the walls, you're going to love it. Because we have graffiti.
Well, I was just going to say that. That's what I loved about it as well, that around the whole bit. I mean, the fact that you're at Sadler's is brilliant anyway, because it kind of breaks convention and then it doesn't.
Yes.
That you've got Lillian Bayless for the more experimental, perfect. But there's graffiti, there's dance classes, there's, what else have you got? Live graffiti, award-winning hip-hop DJs, dance workshops, MCs, impromptu dance circles, and it made the whole event amazing.
Yes.
So wherever floor you're on, there's something going on.
Yes,
and it's a real nice introduction as well, isn't it?
Yes.
And then you've got the event.
So.
It's
very
just brilliant.
Awesome.
So I love it. You are Sadler's Wells Associate Artist.
That's right.
So, do you have a desk?
I do. I have an office.
You have
big
a
big room.
Wow.
Big room.
Is
man.
It lovely?
It is really nice. It's a bit hot.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lot to do with the furious way in which we work.
Oh, my goodness. I've seen you. I've just seen your arms go. I can't imagine anything cool in there. I don't know what I said then. I watched that video of you. This made me laugh so much. And I really want to see the show. And I want you to bring it back or tell me where I can see it. Mm. Of you wanting to deliver your letter to the Queen about your MBE. I couldn't stop laughing. So, and the show is The Letter to Be or to MBE.
Yes.
Where can I see that still?
I haven't performed it for a while.
Yeah.
But it is a show that I really love performing. Yeah. Because I play six different characters, all speaking to me about whether I should take the MBE or not.
Mm.
And it's just fun living through other people for a moment. Do you know what I mean? I don't act very often. And, you know, some would argue whether I'm actually acting at all and just mimicking and just mimicking people that I know. Do you know what I mean? Because all of the characters, I knew them. Women, yeah, I play three women in it as well, and which is interesting because, you know, arguably I'm a bit of a lad. Do you know what I mean? But it was really great to play women. And for all you guys out there, play a woman. Feel it. Feel what it feels like to have a woman's perspective. It will give you balance in your life.
Yeah, and backache.
And back. I don't know about it, but how's that work out? Sorry.
Knockers.
Okay.
So Breaking Convention.
Don't go there.
So can I see it? So bring it back or let me see it somewhere, because it sounded so great.
So it's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it back, and you know what? I'd love to do it. I'm going to just say it.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it in Soho Theatre.
Yes.
Said it. It's out there now.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. New theatre.
Oh, there's a new theatre. Oh, just want to just say.
Yeah.
Anna Goodman is in the house. She has been doing press and PR for me for longer than Breaking Convention. I mean, we're talking decades.
Oh. I think it's 18 years.
Oh.
The legend that is
Happy
Anna
anniversary.
Goodman.
Oh,
thank you very much. With the Aeroplane Man was the first project we did together. Jonesy and I just met outside Raymond's Review Bar.
There you go.
And the workmen were telling me about the theatre that they're building above, the Boulevard Theatre. Apparently it's opening this year.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yep. And there's going to have a varied bill, which is going to include comedy, cabaret and things like that,
and
which
Jonesy.
Could be very good. I mean, I love Soho Theatre, don't get me wrong, but it will be very interesting to see what this is like because the letter is a one-person show. So you can perform it in a variety of spaces as long as you know your space, really.
Right, we're going to make this happen. I know a lot of people.
Excellent.
Well,
okay.
There's my brother Pat. Brother Dan. So Breaking Convention is at Sadler's
Bloke
Wells.
Down the chip shop.
Bloke down the chip shop. I love him. Is at Sadler's Wells and Lillian Bayliss Studio from Friday the 3rd to Sunday the 5th of May. For news and updates, go to breakingconvention.com. And for tickets, visit sadlerswells.com. And for updates on all Jonesy's brilliant projects, follow him on Twitter at JonesyD.
BB Does Soho. Lucky Soho.
I'm Bibi Lynch and you're listening to Soho Radio Culture, sohoradiolondon.com, and click on Culture and we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our beautifully bijou pop-up and studio on Great Windmill Street, I'm joined in the studio by the wonderful Jonesy D, and it's time for My Soho.
Soho Radio. My Soho with Bibi Lynch.
So you're an East London boy.
I am an East London boy.
So how old do you think you were when you first came to Soho?
I reckon I was about 5 years old.
Oh, really?
My parents, you know, they would show me London, do you know what I mean? There were six of us. My older brother, he is a dancer. He go by the name of Peter. He was also known by the name of Chopper. I don't know if it was sexual or violent. I don't know where the word comes
from. Maybe he had the bike.
It was bike. It was probably bikes. But he was an amazing dancer, and he used to dance at the 100 Club and various clubs around here. And he would walk me up and down Oxford Street, and he would stop by every other person because they knew him from going out to the clubs in Soho back in the day.
That's so cool. Brilliant.
So, yeah.
What did Soho mean to you when you were a kid then? Not when you were five, but when you were kind of, you know, when you were in your teens. What did the name Soho evoke?
Soho evoked culture. That was the one thing that I would say. Going down Carnaby Street, you know, and just seeing punks, mods, rockers, Roots, Rastaman.
And how amazing that whole mix.
Yeah, man.
And all allowed and all. It does feel like a magical, safe. And that's when if ever there's an attack in Soho, it feels really, really bad, doesn't it? Because this has always felt like a safe space for everyone.
Right, that's right. But I also felt new. It felt new here. There was always new things happening, new ideas. It seemed like, it was a foundation of new ideas.
Yeah. And what does Soho mean to you now?
If I'm honest, I don't get the chance to go to Soho very much. Soho now, it looks like construction, but I think that's most of London.
Yeah.
And things opening and closing, which again is a London thing right now. Transition.
Yeah. Totally. When we have a My Soho guest and we ask them to think of three songs that for whatever reason just kind of made them think of Soho. So the first one you've chosen is Cross the Track. Why did you choose that?
Because that was the club track when I was coming down here a lot back in the day. So I'd say the main club that track reminds me of is Babylon. Yeah, that was heaven on a Thursday night. It was the only straight night in heaven. And it was just incredible. And I remember Anna Goodman used to go there.
I worked there.
Did you?
I did. I
so
worked
that's
there.
That's why I saw you.
Yeah. I worked at Heaven for 7 years.
Doing what?
And I used to do the door of sometimes at the end I did the front, but not for Babylon. I sat in the VIP bit at the front.
That's right.
Really telling people.
I remember.
Yeah. And there was Giles Peterson upstairs.
That's right, with Brother Marco.
Brother Marco. And then there was Vicky Edwards downstairs with the late, great Colin Favour.
Yes, that's right.
And I don't think there was a DJ in the VIP bar, but there was a lot of rare groove and hip-hop and electro.
That's right.
And it was great.
Yeah, man.
What kills me is that, and this is why I'm forever single.
Yeah.
I didn't even realise there was a straight night at Heaven, so I went every other night. So I was there.
You went all the other nights and
wasn't
waiting for
my poppers. Never actually met anyone. Let's hear the track Why I Cry My Eyes Out. Fabulous track, Nick.
That was Cross the Track. We Better Go Back.
Oh, We Better Go Back.
Maceo and the Max. Maceo.
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 Maceo. Maceo. Maceo. I always say Maceo.
Maceo.
That's why I asked him to say it. So naughty. What's the best gig you've seen in Soho?
Oh, best gig that I've seen in Soho. Okay, there was one at the Astoria. That any hip hop mans in the house or women will remember that, but I can't remember the name of it. But so the other one I'm going to mention is the Hippodrome.
Yes.
Yeah, when I had a DMC championships there.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And, you know, just having loads of B-boys and B-girls and hip hop heads right in the middle of Soho. Do you know what I mean? And people from all around the country came down for that event as well. So yeah, that was great.
What's your favourite bar, restaurant or venue in Soho?
I would say the Borderline. Mm. Yeah. Because of an event that DJ 279 used to run. It was called Flavour of the Month. It was every Friday, and there was a real nucleus of the hip-hop scene that used to go there. He had an open mic, so a lot of MCs was the first time I'd ever seen them live and in the flesh was there. It was around 1988, 89 that this was happening. So, yeah, it was one of the first really dope clubs. And interestingly, Break From The Border, which was the bigger venue that was on the other side, I've never been in there.
Seriously?
Never. It was like a restaurant, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's probably why.
Yeah.
Tex-Mexy type food, just, I don't know.
Don't like Mexican food.
Actually, you know what? I just want to say this.
You do.
I thought I didn't until I went to Oakland, California the other day.
Yes.
And a mate of mine, he said to me, You said that you don't like Mexican food, right? And I said, yeah, sorry, man. He said, come here. And he took me to three different places on three different times in this week and showed me that the best place to get Mexican food is Oakland, California.
Not Mexico.
Not Mexico. Just like Indian food.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Brick Lane is the best place in the world to get Indian food.
Can you cook?
I can cook,
actually. Can you? What's your signature dish?
My signature dish is, it's spinach with chickpeas and mushrooms.
Ooh.
And it's kind of boiled together in a kind of, yeah, in a stew, in a pot. Curry.
What do you have with it?
Usually rice,
yeah.
But sometimes I'll have sweet potato with it as well.
So you don't have a sweet tooth?
I don't. You know what? I'm a diabetic.
Are you?
Yes.
That's not
I'm
fair.
I'm sweet enough already.
You really are.
Sweet enough as it is.
Let's hear your second solo song. You chose Shifting Gears. Why this one?
This one reminds me of dancing. Yeah, jazz dancing. That funk, jazz funk groove. Kind of does remember me a couple of other clubs in Camden, but let's not go there. But there was a jazz funk vibe that DJs like my fellow Tottenham supporter, Norman J. He would play this
Soho
kind of
Radio's
back
Norman
in the day.
Soho Radio.
Soho Radio's Norman J. He used to play
NBA.
This type of
he
stuff.
Took MB... He took his MBA.
respect to him, do you know what I mean? I just want to say, so long as it allows you to sleep at night.
If you're wearing it on your chest as you sleep, that's hilarious. So let's hear Shifting Gears.
Shifting gears.
I love that. What a choice.
Still jamming here.
I love watching you dance.
Mm. That was Johnny Hammond. We never mentioned it, but that was...
He's still dancing.
I bet you wish
Shifting
you
gears, Johnny this. Hammond.
If you... If you were mayor of Soho, if you were mayor of Soho, what would you do or change?
If I was the mayor of Soho, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean I have decision-making power?
You can do anything, anything you want.
Okay.
You can bestow orders on people.
Everything, MBEs.
Okay. I would lower the rent for artists.
Yeah.
And we need to make Soho the cultural capital that it used to be. That's what I would do.
I love that. I love that. Would I get a blue plaque?
You would. I don't know. I didn't know plaque came up blue on the teeth, to be honest with you. But you better go and see the dentist about that, love.
I think you have to be dead as well.
Oh, okay. That's lovely.
20 years.
I haven't got time.
Yesterday.
You have to be dead for 20 years.
I found this out yesterday because a friend of mine's been trying to get a plaque for her husband and he hasn't been dead for long enough.
Oh, well, that's so a nice
been,
story.
Yeah, so she's been trying to get this plaque.
Thanks for that, Anna.
No, I know, but she's not very happy about it. She's on to English Heritage and Camden
Is
Council.
She?
We're hoping this plaque comes up soon. I'll be able to tell you all about it.
I'm quite excited about this plaque. There's a plaque at a pub, outside a pub near where I live, and it just says, "No one famous lived here," which really makes me laugh. Johnsy, can you sum up Soho in 3 words, please?
Sexy. Transitioning.
Yep.
Them 2 words together.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
Sexy transitioning.
Add another one quickly.
And hype.
Hype. Don't believe the hype. Do believe the hype. Breaking convention, very good, is at Sadler's Wells and Lillian Bayliss Studio from Friday the 3rd to Sunday the 5th of May. For news and updates,
She's
go to Breaking.
This
Unbelievable. Johnsy, this is actual sexual tension. And that's why this is. It's difficult. I can't sack him. Apparently,
I'm
not allowed to.
I'm really, really hot right now.
No, I know.
And you guys need to ease up.
I know, just
bit.
Ease up.
It's global warming. You're affecting the climate.
Yeah, producer Nikki. And put little Nikki away. For God's sake, I'm trying to concentrate. So, from Friday the 3rd to Sunday the 5th of May, for news and updates, go to breakingconvention.com. And for tickets, visit saddlerswells.com. And for updates on all Johnsy's brilliant projects, follow him on Twitter at JohnsyD. Such a joy to meet you. I've been waiting to meet you for years. So it's been lovely.
It's been lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And please introduce your final Soho track.
Okay. My final Soho track is Public Enemy with the tune that they made specifically for Spike Lee, Fight the Power.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Awareness. We obvious, he's straight out racist. The sucker was simple and plain.
Motherfucking in John Wayne.
Cause I'm black and I'm proud. I'm ready, I'm hyped cause I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear in no stamp. Sample, look back, you looking fine. Nothing but rednecks for 400 years if you check.
Don't worry, be happy.
Was a number one jam. Damn, if I said you could slap me right here. Get it.
Let's get this party started right.
Right on.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're the only radio show that would bring you Public Enemy and Whitney Houston.
What was the Bobby Crush one we did the other week?
What, the song?
Orville's song.
Oh, Orville, yes. Keith Harrison, Orville. I know.
Anyway, Whitney Houston, I'm your BB tonight. That's what she meant. Hey, welcome to the second hour of BB Does Soho. I'm BB Lynch. And you're listening to Soho Radio Culture, sohoradiolondon.com, and click on Culture, and we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from...
Do you know
our...
what an app is? Do you actually know?
I am going to break
No, seriously,
you.
Do you...
It's a little go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from a beautifully bijou pop... Listen, I'm the talent. I don't need to have a nerdy tech brain. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our beautifully bijou pop-up and studio on Great Wimble Street. Come down and say hello if you're too shy to say hi. Tweet us at Soho Radio or at BB Inch. Check the tweets, Nick. We would love to hear from you. So the brilliant John Z. D.
Oh, he's great, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. I love it. He got a bit upset when you called me fat. Just entertained us with tales of his Soho.
You really should listen back to the recordings of these programs, because it's just, I think you have a slightly skewed idea of what went on.
And in a few minutes, fabulous writer, director, actor Patrick Lynch. I've got a brother called Patrick.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll be here to tell us about his new comedy, Gone with the Wendy. But first, ladies and gents, it's The Weeknd featuring Daft Punk and Starboy.
You in the worst mood, P1 cleaner than your church shoes, belly point two just to hurt you, all red lamp just to tease you, none of these toys on lease to, made your whole year in a week to, main bitch out of your league to, side bitch out of your league to, house so empty need a centerpiece, 20 racks a table come from ebony, cut that ivory into skinny pieces, then she clean up with her face, but I love my baby. Money need a hearing aid. You talking about me, I don't see a shade. Switch out my side, I like to get any lame. Switch out my core if I kill any pain. Look what you've done. I'm a motherfucking star boy. Nigga try to test me, every day a nigga try to end me, pull off in that roadster SV, pockets overweight getting hefty, coming for the king, that's a far cry, I come alive in the far time, the competition I don't really listen, I'm in the blue moon song, bump a new edition, house so empty need a centerpiece, 20 racks a table come from ebony, cut that ivory into skinny pieces, then she clean up with her face, man I love my baby. Money need a hearing aid. You talking about me, I don't see a shade. Switch on my side, I like to get any lane. I switch on my core if I kill any pain. Look what you've done. I'm a motherfucking star boy. Let a nigga bracket, legend of the fall, took the year like a bandit. Bought mama a crib and a brand new wagon. Now she hit the grocery shop looking lavish. Star Trek roof in the Wraith of Khan. Girls get loose when they hear the song. 100 on the dash, get me close to God. We don't pray for love, we just pray for cause. House so empty, need a centerpiece. 20 racks a table come from ebony. Cut that ivory into skinny pieces. Then she clean up with her face, but I love my baby. You talking money, need a hearing aid. You talking about me, I don't see the shade. Switch out my side, I like to get any lame. Switch out my core if I kill any pain. Look what you've done. Look what you've done.
Yes, well, our final guest is here. Welcome back to Soho Radio. Writer, director, actor, and in no way my brother, Patrick Lynch.
Hello, baby. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Pat.
You smell delicious.
Thank
what
you
is
very much.
That?
I got some cheap aftershave in the Dubai airport. And it's, as I just told you now, it burns every time I put it on. But smells all right, though.
Yeah. Smells of pain. Yeah.
Doesn't last for long.
Doesn't it?
No.
So you just add the pain.
It was something like 20 dirham.
Dirham?
Dirham. I think that's the currency. Oh, God, let's stop
I bet it's not. I bet it's not.
How much is that?
Not much. Probably like £4.
£4? Yeah. How big is it? Can I see it, please?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I honestly can't remember. Oh. I just kind of impulse bought it.
What, you did?
Flam. Flam de Homme.
Flam de Homme.
By Verve.
Flammable by Verve.
Yeah, by Verve.
You didn't have to go to Dubai to get this. You can get this in Camden Market.
Can you?
Oh, my God.
It's quite nice, though, isn't it?
There's a road called George Street, and there's there are always young men with carrier bags, usually Sainsbury's one.
You clean car tyres with that.
Asking me if I want... Do you want some perfume, lady?
Do you want some...
Perfume.
Lady.
Really? Well, A, lady.
Well,
and
you are
B,
a lady.
But they always come to me. They're not coming to anyone else.
It's better than him saying, you want some perfume, sir. Yeah.
Do you remember me and our brother Dan, we were in a coffee shop and a bloke who'd actually been talking to me and served me and then just said, oh, what would you like, sir?
I don't remember.
Oh, that made Dan's year.
Oh my God.
You know that Easter egg? Did you eat all of it?
I did, yeah.
We got a joint Easter egg.
Yeah.
And then, so are we gonna,
okay, yes.
Are we discussing nepotism on
yes,
the show today?
Yes, yes. So Pat, my brother to my right, has a groundbreaking TV career, but we're ignoring that today. Today we're talking about your new play,
yes.
Gone with the Wendy.
Mm.
Am I in it?
You're not, no.
Well,
okay. No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you for joining us, Patrick.
And it's a play what you wrote.
It's a play what I wrote, yeah. I wrote it about 2 years ago. And it's just taken quite a long time. Basically, six people in the cast, and yeah. It's quite hard to kind of get six people on board. But we've managed it, and it's on in 3 weeks.
Three. What's a Wendy?
White Bear. A Wendy is... So I only learnt the term Wendy about 2 years ago.
Ah.
A West End Wendy.
A West End Wendy,
yeah.
Yes.
So it's like a... Well, I presumed it was like a former star of the stage, but I think a West End Wendy is just generally...
More a wannabe.
Well, I think it's just like an umbrella term.
Just somebody,
wannabes.
I always thought it was somebody who lives and breathes theatre, songs from the
yep.
shows,
yep.
goes to see everything on opening night,
yep.
Will sing everything at the drop of a hat, would wear a T-shirt.
100%.
Would, yep. would, you know, have a picture of Stephen Sondheim in their bathroom.
I think yep. I'd be, you know, an awful... I think I've been a...
But that's just me.
I think I've been a Wendy then, definitely in my youth.
Really? Yeah. Well, I think the key to knowing if you're a Wendy or not is if you go to this night at the Phoenix, at the bottom of the Phoenix, 9:30 every Thursday night, everyone is cleared out and all these Wendys rush in.
Yeah. I've been.
It's open mic night, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
It's brilliant.
Our and Phoenix yeah. Arts, Frenzo show, absolutely, it's best venue in London, So tell me about this specific Wendy.
So this specific Wendy is a chap called Ray Gerardo Usher and it's all set at his funeral. Yeah. So it starts
oh, lovely.
Off. Yes, it's super, super cheerful. And then what happens is just throughout the... So Ray was a former star of the stage and he's not done it for many years. In the late 90s was like the peak of his career.
Mm.
And at his funeral, which is organised by his nephew Bernie, one by one we're kind of introduced to former colleagues and associates of Ray.
Mm.
And basically, the more Wendy's that come, the less focus on the funeral, but the more on the fact that these are very dramatic kind of, you know, there's the occasional musical number, there's the occasional kind of lots of alcohol abuse and things like that.
It's like Christmas. It's Lynch's Christmas.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a bit of a...
Jazz
But it's all mainly kind of a comedy of errors set at this funeral of a former Wendy. But I just presumed everyone knew what Wendy was, so I've
yeah.
had to explain a lot what Wendy is.
Yeah.
Just because I'm so arrogant, I just assumed
so
everyone knows
arrogant.
What Wendy is.
But it's fine. People need to learn. That's what theatre's about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When you write something, what's your... Do you just think that you have the story, you just go for it? Do you ever want to do a message? Is there... What's behind your... Is it just for the laughs?
It's just for the laughs, to be honest. Yeah. I never have
That's
a message.
Quite shallow.
Yeah, completely, yeah. completely. I did try once putting a bit of a message into something, and I just don't think I'm very good at it. I think it just feels a bit kind of shoehorned in, kind of trying to...
Is that because you don't care?
Probably. Like, I just, I don't know. But I really like just good old-fashioned nonsense comedy. You know, I think I grew up watching lots of Rick Mail and lots of kind of Day to Day, which that actually had a bit more of a message, but Rick Mail certainly was a bit more louder.
And that this is Comedy of Errors. That's really skillful writing, because Comedy of Errors is tricky.
Well, it's...
Because you have to keep track of who's left and exited and which way round they've gone.
Absolutely, and I've definitely made the odd...
Who was talking there? Was that you?
Yes.
What was the rule that we established about 20 minutes ago?
I don't recall.
You put your hand up.
Oh, yeah. But this is radio. That doesn't work.
Jesus.
Yeah. Carry on.
Phoebe just made a very provocative hand gesture. Did you see that?
I did, but that's radio, isn't it?
It's radio.
Isn't that the hand you're meant to put up when you talk?
Yeah. Do you mind? Do you mind? I'm just talking.
it is hard, but like I generally, if something happens... That then triggers this kind of, I'm on a bit of a roll here now. So I can't just like sit for 3 hours and think, right, I need to write something. Something has to happen. No, something has to happen. So say like the first play I did was about an oven breaking down and asking the neighbour for help on Christmas Day, which actually happened. But everything else then was obviously embellished. But because of that trigger.
That's so brilliant. So you wouldn't, something happens that you're like, oh. It's almost like, this could be a book. You couldn't write it, so then you write it.
So then you write it.
Wow.
Yeah. But, and it's a lot of fun. The rehearsals are crazy. And, like, I'm definitely doing things that I never thought I'd be doing. Picking up a coffin later.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have to buy a... Yeah. Oh, you borrowed it.
We found a really good one at a local community theatre company.
The local church.
Yeah, just local funeral directors.
I was looking, just took a spade and... No.
Has it got lining?
It hasn't got lining, no. They have... It looks, from the outside, looks great, but they have said, please don't let anyone lie in it.
Okay. Because that's the first thing everyone wants to do, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I might stand it up and put a bit of myself in. I don't know. Yeah. But I need to take it on the
selfie.
Yeah. I need to take it on the train.
Oh, you are joking.
Well, I don't think an Uber will take it.
Well, that's another play, isn't it? There's a comedy of errors in that. You need you need two people, surely.
They said one. They said one was fine. So I'm going to pinline
it. Who's
they? The fine people at Beckenham Theatre.
Oh, yeah.
The Hulk family.
Can you imagine if it was exposed and people could see where you'd have so many people making jokes.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I just say, by the way, I got egged last night.
You got egged?
I got egged.
Where?
I was in West Norwood.
What?
I was with a friend and we were walking under a bridge. And
that's West Norwood for you.
Absolutely. And these very young kids said something and we just politely went on. And then an egg hit us.
Goodness.
Oh.
Well, hashtag Brexit Britain.
That's terrible.
Well, yeah, it's...
Did they go to do another one? You went, no, an earth is enough.
I had a box of eggs
down.
Right now.
Nick, write that down.
What
little shit.
I know, absolutely.
Did you hit them?
No, I didn't. But I am worried, though, because on my route back later with the coffin is that route.
You're going to be walking down West Norwood High Street
with a coffin. They'll be at school, won't they?
A known egging area.
<They'll> be... Do you use the expression eggy? Don't get eggy. I like that.
Yeah, you ever use that? Times, yeah.
What was their motivation? Just little sods.
I just think
I've been egged.
Anarchy, wasn't it? Have you? When
were
you?
Yeah, in a garden in Tooting.
Oh, really?
The neighbors,
in your garden?
The garden of the house I was staying in, the neighbours threw egg over.
That's outrageous.
Were you being inappropriate?
When am I? Ever? Yeah.
Yeah.
We've asked. So, this was a nightmare. Producer Nick to my left. So, Pat has been on the show before.
Indeed.
Talk about your last success, which was a brilliant play. This one's going to be better.
Yes.
Better. And at the time, as a courtesy, I just said, what's your favourite Soho song? Give us a track. Oh, my God, it took days to get him to give me a song. Why? Why is it so painful?
I don't know. I just...
It was just one song.
But my experiences of coming to Soho, I don't think I have a song that reminds me of Soho.
Well, I'm
That's
not saying
my problem.
There's a song that you know, when you're walking down the street, it's the only you will only walk down the street to that song.
Yeah.
What do you think I mean?
I honestly had a bit of a
You could have just said, I don't have one, and then we could have played something else.
Yeah, but I picked a good one.
Yeah.
So now you've done one. No, you've Googled.
Yeah, I Googled this one as well.
Okay. So I've made the mistake again of asking Pat again. So what's the one you've chosen? And why does it remind you of Soho?
Well, it's Trident Studios.
St. Anne's Court.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but St. Anne's Court. And this was the Carly Simon Nobody Does It Better song, the Bond song. But it's the Radiohead cover.
Yeah, so
I just had a trip. Why did you choose the Radiohead cover?
I do love the Carly Simon one, but I really love the Radiohead one.
So was the Carly Simon one recorded in Trident?
It was recorded in Trident, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what you just said.
Yeah. Well,
that's what Google said.
He didn't actually make it clear that that's what it was. What he just said,
you
know Trident Studios.
What did you think
then
he
meant? Said Carly
was it not?
Simon. I don't know, but you didn't make the connection. That okay. That's why you were talking
Can someone play a track?
I'm going to get Google.
So this is Radiohead doing Nobody Does It Better, apart from Carly.
Nobody does it better. Makes me feel sad for the world. Nobody does it half as good as you. Sometimes I wish someone would. Nobody does it quite the way you do. Why'd you have to be so
been in the radio business for quite a few years.
Have you?
And I have just witnessed the rudest exchange between producer and guest.
It was pretty unreal.
Are you okay, Pat?
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely fine.
I don't think I was. No, I was just expressing my opinions on that Radiohead cover of Carly Simon.
You mentioned about a blackboard, claws on a blackboard.
You did do that after you'd said that it was your favourite song.
I just think it's particularly ironic that you choose to cover a song entitled Nobody Does It Better.
So
do you not think that maybe you should be doing it better than the original? And arguably that was bit of a dog's dinner.
You've got a vicious tongue on you today, Nick.
It does.
Write a play about this. The producer
I do think Radiohead is... there is the cult of Radiohead. And nobody is allowed to criticise Radiohead because they're so revered. And I just think it's the Emperor's New Clothes. I'm the little boy that wants to stand up and say, actually, he can't sing.
He can sing. You just didn't like that version.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible. Yeah,
okay. I liked it.
The Carly Simon song's so great. I like covers. To be fair, I do think if you're going to do a cover, it should be different to the original.
Oh.
So why not what do a version
that's what do you? What score do you think Nick thinks he is out of 10?
Oh, we talked about what Nick thinks
what
he
Nick
is.
What Nick thinks he is.
I think Nick's a very modest chap.
Thank you,
I think I reckon you say you're a 7 out of 10.
Would you
I
say
think if
seven?
Anyone is saying they're less than a 7, they're doing themselves a disservice.
Why? What do you mean?
I think you need a degree of self-esteem, and I think to think of yourself as less than that, even if you're not, I think you wouldn't want to be thinking that.
You think someone's a nice person if they say they're 7 out of 10?
So the 7's the go-to number?
Because it's confidence, but also a bit of
humility.
Modesty.
Mm. Yeah.
If they say 7.5, they're taking the, they're getting
today,
a bit.
Today, I think I'm a 6 because I look a bit rough.
I'm really bored with this bit.
Fine.
So you're listening to People of Soho on Soho Radio, and I'm joined in the studio by writer, director, actor Patrick Lynch. Well, Pat and I were talking the other day. Pat's really happy with his name.
Is he?
Yeah. Are you not?
I love my name.
I used to hate my name, but I like it now.
Yeah.
It's only because my name rhymes with not pleasant words.
What's that?
Fat. Fat Pat. Fat prick. I was called at school for a bit.
But prick doesn't rhyme with Lynch.
It rhymes with Rick, though.
Ah, yeah.
Fat prick.
So you?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
you
yeah,
actually
yeah.
called yeah. Fat prick
for a good 2 years at school
by the teachers.
Did I not tell you
by the teachers?
Well,
what school was that?
Because I'm Nick Nicholas. People who say, "Are you Nicholas? Are you not wearing any knickers?" He's Nicholas. I used to get that.
Or Nicholas.
Yeah.
Got Nicholas.
No.
I've got anyway. So Gone with the
Solid
Wendy.
Gold the show,
thank
isn't
you.
It?
Gone with the Wendy. I'm gonna give you a quote, you like this.
Okay.
Quote, full of fights, musical numbers, and full blown substance abuse. Gone with the Wendy is an outrageous comedy of errors. Drugs are a theme in your work.
Yeah.
Why aren't you sorry?
But it's kind of like not it's excessive use, so it's not like kind of I'm not encouraging it.
Aren't you?
I don't think so, no. Or am I? A lot of people that came to the last play have gone quiet.
Well, that would be the A-level question. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't the author encouraging excessive? Or is he just...
Or successive?
To the point of, like, you know, one of them drank Dettol in the last one. I think it is also that going back to that kind of that, you know, Young Ones and Bottom and Ab Fab as well, which I used to watch a lot growing up. I think it just is a bit moulded into you, that kind of... excess is quite a funny comedy device. It's probably lazy of me.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't market the drug use bit. Maybe it doesn't sell me that well.
I love it. It totally makes me want to go and see it. Are there other... So the last one, there was a bit of unrequited love.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Is there any sex in this?
There's no sex in this, actually. It's quite a sexless production. But there
thanks
is.
Thanks to my cast.
But there is a big reason why they're all at this funeral, which kind of becomes clearer when you watch it.
Oh.
But there is a kind of a big, basically an event happened in the late 90s at the Palace Theatre Christmas party. And from the basis of that night, they've all come together. No, none of the Wendys have seen each other since that night. So this is the first time they've all been brought together for a particular reason, which does surround the deceased.
Wow. Okay. I
it's a Game of Thrones.
And I may or may not have been influenced by an EastEnders storyline.
When you say Ricky. Influence, do you mean...
EastEnders is
you used
on...
EastEnders.
May or may not. May or may not.
This is so naughty. Isn't EastEnders amazing at the moment?
We talk about it.
We do talk about it a lot. Nick loves it. What's
do
your
you
favourite
Nick?
Character,
no,
Nick?
I can't. I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I may have seen a few moments of it in the 80s when Nita Dobson was in it, but I don't think I've ever.
Well, how can you hate it if you haven't seen it?
Are you aware of who's in it now?
Not really. I could be on an underground train or a bus with the entire cast of EastEnders.
An underground train. Nick means a tube.
And it would be like being on a bus for me, just other people.
Even if it pulled into Wolford East.
And then there was an explosion.
No, I know the reference.
Do you? Oh, do you? Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. We're going to play another track.
Unpleasant people do, as I always say, unpleasant people doing unpleasant things to each other in an unpleasant place. And, you know, if I wanted that, I'd go on the Northern Line, and I don't really need to see it on TV.
We should come to my play.
Yes, come along.
Well, I've got no choice but to see your play, because it literally is taking place.
Yes, it's the White Bear. I love that place as well.
The White Bear, of course. Yes, great, yes. Great.
It
venue.
Is really close to where you live, isn't it? I'm choosing tracks today. So we had one of your favourites, and that Nick destroyed, and we had a family.
Well, to be fair, he destroyed one of my favourites.
Oh, well, there you go. There, I'm so sorry, Pat. So we had a bit of a family thing because it was Easter. I told Nick the story about our family friend having her areola scraped.
God, yeah.
In fact, it was the opening link of the show today.
Was it?
Yeah. It stayed with me.
Yeah.
Unlike the listeners.
Yeah. You bitch. So the next track was chosen by our nephew, Pat and I's nephew Edison, and our sister Yasmin.
Mm-hmm.
Pat?
Yeah.
Yasmin?
Yeah. I know what you're going to ask. What? What is the question?
Why do you prefer Yasmin to me?
This is such a terrible... She doesn't ask this question.
Is that right?
Yeah, probably,
She's a canny.
You two can argue that out and we'll play this. Do you want to introduce it?
Oh, yeah, only because you want me to try and say that name. Okay, so it's Gesaffelstein,
yeah.
Stein and Pharrell Williams and Blast Off. So Yaz doesn't like you.
You've been thinking about this all night. Saying this was right, crush your heart and hope to die. Are you sure you wanna pay the price? Do it outside in the night. It's where you go when is the life. When I'm looking in your face, oh, higher, you give me faith. Oh, higher than the sky, I feel this faith. Oh, higher, this must. Oh,
again.
When I'm looking in your face,
the ball today, are you? Gasaffelstein. That was
Gasaffelstein. Bless you.
French DJ.
Really?
Yeah.
You've just googled that.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
I did know that.
Wow. What does DJ stand for?
Derek Jarman. Jacoby.
Pat.
DV.
So I've had the pleasure. Was I the first person to read your play?
You were.
Yay.
You were.
Yeah.
Did you proofread it?
What, for errors?
Yes.
No, I did not. I just read it. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
You are very, very funny writer, very talented writer. And I'm very jealous. So I am really interested in your process. So I know you say it's something that has to, you know, you're not going to say, and this month, you know, this year I'm going to write a play and do it. Mm. Something has to happen to prompt you. Within that, though, what's your process? Because this is what puts me off writing anything longer than 3,000 words. I don't want to have to keep going back to something.
Yeah. I mean, I've been quite lucky with both of these particular ones. Well, more so with this one, because I've kind of known a couple of the cast members before. So that's made it easier to write, because knowing their kind of, you know, the way they deliver lines and everything like that. But the actual... I've just basically had these cast lists. Something has happened. And then I don't know what happens. You just kind of get swept up by it, and you just write. You get quite overexcited. That's my only experience of when it's come to these plays, just two big things have happened. But that said, I heard a song that I really liked the other day, and that's kind of triggered an idea for a song based on what the song's about.
For a song?
So the song for another play. But I listened to a song called Midnight Man, and I kind of thought, wow, this is great. And that's kind of triggered another thing.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I think I'm quite lucky. I just have these kind of big things happen and then just kind of write on the back of that. But I do get luck. You know, I do struggle sometimes. Like if I kind of set a day aside to write something, there have been times where I've not written anything.
That's not going to happen that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like structure it? Do you work out where the storyline's going to go before you write? Or do you let the characters take you? Or because I've seen play, you know, show. Are you laughing at something? Are you looking at porn?
You're looking.
Jesus.
He's squeaking.
He's Googling DJ.
I didn't utter a sound.
Of like post-its on the wall and a bit of string going, and that character did that. I'm like, oh, that would give. Because I'm.
No,
that
I can't
would
do
freak
it.
Me out. Yeah. So you just sit there, do like an 8-hour stint.
Yeah.
And just type it and then go back and know that you're checking it then? Or you really structure it first?
Well, I don't structure it at all. I should structure it much more. But I kind of... I used to read all these books on like how to write a play, how to script write, da-da-da-da-da. And then I listened to an interview with Julia Davis. Mm. And she said that her way of writing is that she just writes sketches and takes her time, and then like over the course of 2 years has written all these sketches and then puts them together and makes a story. And... that has kind of, I really like that. I can work like that. So I can write little bits here and there and then eventually bring it all together.
Yeah.
But as long as I kind of have that one constant, such as the setting where it's going to be, or that one big event that everything is now kind of trailing off, then I will just write kind of a selection of funny scenarios and then kind of bring it together.
See, that makes it much easier.
I find it works for me, yeah. I find breaking it down like that, it works for me, rather than coming up with this big, elaborate story first. I'm not very good at structuring.
Yeah.
I like just getting everything out there and then kind of piecing it together.
And then are there many revisits?
Oh, there's loads, yeah.
Really?
But that's the good thing about doing a play, because it's not my, you know, it's not my kind of main source of income or anything. I can take my time with it.
Are you still stripping?
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm very good at
it,
too.
You are very good.
Very good at it, too. And I can take my time, which is lovely, and not a lot of people have that kind of luxury, really. Mm. Look, this one took 2 years. When you see it, you'll be confused why. but it did.
So is it the that kind of difficult second album thing with a play?
I guess. It's very different to the other one, actually. I think the first one was much darker, which is weird because this one's actually set at a funeral, so it's quite dark just by where it is. But the other one, I think, felt a bit more tragic, like these three kind of really sad, depressive type characters, whereas this one's just more kind of, I don't know, the whole Wendy thing just brings a bit more of a panto-ish feel to it. But yeah, come along.
Come along, everyone.
Come along.
Does, when you've written something and then when you get to rehearsal, how much does the play change?
A lot. I'm just trying to think of the way we've kind of done it. Yeah, I mean, we've been quite ruthless, actually. Like, a lot of it has been amended and cut. But like, but you won't really know until you actually see it in action what does work, what doesn't. And, you know, I'm very open to the castmates to say, like, look, if you think something's not working, just say and we can get rid of it.
Are you just saying that you're on air?
No. I'm quite, you know...
Very collaborative.
Absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah. And I say, we're all the directors just because I don't know how. So we're all the directors.
So tell us about your actors.
They're brilliant. So I play a character called Jerry, who's like this awful Wendy character, and he's got a friend called River. So they're basically like each other. They're just kind of the Javert to my Jean Valjean, is how he describes River at one point. And River's played by my friend Freddie, who's very, very good. And then there's a character called Maisie, who is a former worker of the Palace Theatre, and she's there at the funeral for her own incentive, and she's played by Kate Black, who's excellent.
Yeah.
And then we've got Bernie, who is the nephew of the deceased, and he's played by a chap called Connor Jenkins, who's very good, and he also plays the voice of Ray as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then we've got Ed Haynes, who is our vicar, and he's probably the kindest character, actually. Everyone else has got their own kind of agenda.
Everyone loves the comedy vicar.
And this one we go, this one was... Again, a little bit inspired by the cross-dressing funeral director in EastEnders storyline, but that's all I'll say.
My God, that was a great story. They're in Worthing now.
Cross-dressing funeral director.
There was. Yeah. They're in Worthing now.
Played by Roger Sloman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He was great.
Be on YouTube. He was great.
Oh, now
he was
really involved.
Good.
And Ruby.
And then we've got Ruby, who is excellent. She plays Tabitha. And Tabitha at... her height was like the main star of Les Mis.
Oh, wow.
So she's kind of like Sunset Boulevard meets Patsy from Abvab meets Waynetta Slob kind of thing.
Wow. Ruby taller or shorter than Elaine Page?
Ruby is probably... How tall is Elaine Page?
Elaine Page is...
Tiny.
About 4'2", probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's taller then.
Taller than Elaine Page.
And Elaine Page somewhat features at the start of the show as well.
Come on. I'm really intrigued to see how much it's changed from when I saw it, when I read it.
Yeah.
See, if you listen to anything I said. I just wanted Wham songs throughout. So the next track is, Arthur. Our nephew, Arthur.
Darling,
gorgeous Arthur and gorgeous Ed, the beautiful boys. They both look like they wear eyeliner because their eyes are so gorgeous. Really beautiful eyes. Anyway, they're gorgeous children. He chose a track called Gun Lean. And it's by an artist, it's written Russ, but I believe the young people pronounce it Rush.
Rush. R-U-S-S.
Rush, yes. Russ.
Here it is.
Gunling.
Gotcha. Gun lean, man, gun lean. Gun lean on the beat as well. For everyone, boys and girls, flick your shoulder, use them well. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Michael Jackson, twist up your leg. Athlete, don't run out of breath. Beef, who mate, give it a rest. That's your one, I'm sucking the rest. Oh shit, Rush did it again. War is war, can't reason with them. Still trying to smoke them like blem. I lost my sis, so I don't need friends. 10, 10, 10, excellent tongue. Won't please come, look at a bum. If you didn't run, you would have been head and chest ain't aiming for leg. Assess it, grab it, check it. Fill it, press it, keep it, clean it, park it, repeat it. Gun lean, man, gun lean. Gun lean on the beat as well. For everyone, boys and girls, flick your shoulder, use them well. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. King, I run this whole drill thing. Why? Cause them man rap and sing. Everyone's claiming they are the king. Shut down shows, don't need a bring in. Different from your year. Dip that quick after foreplay. Quest man's head split your board face. Step with 3-8 or a 12-gauge. DC rushing, everyone panics. Don't want gallus bait like bull planet. On sack thing, I'm done with you.
can't shed light, the ending is tragic. Don't act dumb, you know that Rush did it. Rush don't whip, I purchase it solid. You make your song, the CV's invalid. In public, I free, I move manic. Gun lean, man, gun lean. Gun lean on the beat as well. For everyone, boys and girls, flick your shoulder, use them well. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Man, feds, feds at my door like, oh no, I don't know what to do. Straight for the window, man go, active so they can't handle. Fuck that, man too smart from that. Ain't on shit, just walk and chat. 16 inch tech, all of that. Penetrate it for your marga back. Don't mad me, get dick. Old school like Blueberry and Crips. Gun gun leaning while I grab her hips. Come baby, come and take this dick. Pro babies, come on mumsy skits. Friends with Ben, some casual shit. One crit crit, now she moving rip. Rush won't stop till I'm stinking rip. Gun lean, man, gun lean. Gun lean on the beat as well. For everyone, boys and girls, flick your shoulder, use them well. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Right, no palms can let this prick. Proveen wear, get off man's dick. 7 foot jeans, but the match still fits. Big 4-4 with a fuck off clips. Start this beef, man, end it. Homeless prick, man's trending. Stop saying man's names for attention. I need a fuck off clip with extension. Patty, my man's way too chatty. Son, I love your mum's big batty. Come and take some tips from daddy. Kung, I bet you still bunk cabins. Slap over there, make mess, and I come back fine. 1-2 checks, got 3 on my neck. Drip, drip, can you see that shine? Big, big hand ting, man, split up the car, gun lean, so you know that's I. I'm looking, some no kid. Got going for a pussy. Gun lean, man, gun lean. Gun lean on the beat as well. For everyone, boys and girls, flick your shoulder, use them well. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.
So gun lean apparently describes the dance. The video is great, and it's the dance of when you've been shot. So you just you push back, so your shoulder pushes back.
Oh, I see. Is that a Fortnite thing?
Ooh,
possibly,
possibly, yeah, probably, because Arthur loves a Fortnite. Yeah, yeah. So the video to the weekend one that we played earlier. Bloody hell, that's dark. I don't mean lighting; it's very dark.
Fashionable and modern and edgy music.
I know. I don't know. Let's see. Well, hang on. We've chosen to finish it with.
Yeah. Public Enemy segueing into Whitney Houston. But anyway.
So you two men have been lucky enough to visit me at home.
Mm-hmm.
Will you put me in a home? What do you think is going to happen to me?
I don't know, actually. What is going to happen?
Should we put her in a home?
I'm so nervous.
That. That would cost money.
Oh, Ralph, sorry. Sorry to inconvenience you.
That would cost money.
Yeah.
You did ask us about being thrown at sea, didn't you?
No, someone suggested I'd be thrown at sea.
Oh, right.
And then
I said, I know of a cheap coffin.
Yeah, it was a lovely Easter conversation, Nick. I think I asked someone to pass the lamb and I ended up being thrown in the sea.
Broadly thematic.
Isn't it? Well, it is. It's beautiful.
Resurrection and all that.
So, what were we talking about?
The video. You're talking about the weekend video.
Oh, it's really dark.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
He's killed.
Oh, wow.
And because I'm claustrophobic, and he has a plastic bag put over his head.
That's a bit much, isn't
and yeah,
it?
Yeah, and it's round in his neck, and he can't breathe, and he collapses.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wham never did that. Anyway, so you two have had the... I've had the pleasure of you two in my home, and you two have had the pleasure of visiting me at home. And in my home, oh, my God. So I've got fridge magnets that spell out cum on my fridge.
Yeah.
I can't get them off. And the reason I learned I can't take them off is when my landlord was coming round. But his eye was drawn from my cunt to...
to your...
twat oven.
Yeah, it is 10 to 2 in the afternoon.
Twat oven. It's on the top of my oven. So in Pat's last show, there was a prop that was just a tiny little blackboard with the word twat oven.
Yeah.
In chalk written on it. And did I steal it or did you?
You stole it.
Oh.
And then I think you text after saying, is it all right if I have this in transit?
So what prop am I going to be gifted this time? No, I don't want the coffin.
Thank you. Higher charges. it's not too prop heavy, this one. There's lots of Kinder Egg shells.
What?
Which will make sense when
you
watch it.
Oh, you love Kinder Egg.
So if you want 45 empty Kinder Egg shells, go on eBay, £5. It's a bargain.
And what about the little toys?
No, nothing. Empty. It's all empty. Yeah,
but you still get the chocolate?
No, nothing. It's just the shells. It's just the shells.
Oh, there's the shells.
The shell, yes.
So somebody's been eating Kinder Eggs.
And they use the shells for a purpose.
Wow.
What's in the play? Oh.
No, but I mean, I'm just fascinated that somebody would...
Blood samples.
...sell these things.
Yeah, well, yeah, so am I. But, no, not blood samples, but they're...
Drugs, contained for drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh, no, I know what happens. Like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to... Yeah, no, I know what's going to happen.
But, oh, yeah, you know the ending, because you've read
it. Yeah, but I have also...
It's changed a little, actually.
Well, it's changed. Also, I'm 53. You're lucky I've got your names right today. I'm not going to... I don't remember the ending. With respect. I don't remember the ending to Romeo and Juliet. With respect.
With respect.
So, it's not going to happen.
They both die.
What?
I know.
Someone did a great... who was it on Twitter? Someone finished it with... They did a boom boom at the end. It was like it was a case of feudal poisoning or something like that. It was brilliant. I've just ruined that.
Yeah, you.
Yeah. So I'm doing a talk on Saturday. Can I have advice?
Yeah.
It's 10 minutes.
Write it down and read
it. It's 10 minutes. Well, it's written down and it's typed and it's in big font because I'm so old and can't read. You know, the TED Talks, everyone just walks around with their little mic like they know they've learnt it. I'm not learning this. Do they have monitors?
No.
They learn it.
They don't. Yeah, they just talk.
Okay, I can't learn it.
Do you get a headset?
I don't. Oh, I hope I get a headset. Talks, I'll be voguing my ass off. But if I don't, I think I might a lectern. Can I just put the paper on the lectern? I mean, I'm going to make a joke that I'm reading it. Is that okay? I'll be looking up. I'll make eye contact. It will still be...
I wouldn't even acknowledge. I wouldn't make a joke about it.
Oh, you wouldn't?
Yeah. I wouldn't even acknowledge
Why?
It.
Is that lessening?
Yeah, because you're drawing attention to...
Yeah. You might get away with it.
Well, I think I'm not going to get away with it because I'm going to be holding some paper
on
my face.
No, I think you do that thing where you just look down, you look up. And yeah. Just don't bury your head in the...
I won't bury my head.
Don't bury your head.
If I don't bury my head... Oh, I interviewed a naked stand-up yesterday.
Oh, how was that?
Absolutely brilliant.
Wow.
Miss Glory Pearl.
She was naked throughout?
Yes.
Fully?
She's got the... Yes.
Fully, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, she had a hat and shoes on, genuinely.
What time was this?
Why is that?
Why is that relevant? 9 p.m.
It's quite late, isn't it? Like, did she have a... Was there shower facilities on site, basically?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, we should play another record, shouldn't we?
I think that's a fair question. End of the day.
Producer Nick. Oh, my God.
Oh, the next
amazing.
One is...
It's your choice.
It's my choice.
So...
Yeah, here we go.
Pat.
Yeah?
Would you say I'm a generous person?
I think you're a generous person, yeah.
Do you think Yasmin is more generous than me?
I think she's equally as generous.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Well, yeah, BB always allows me to choose one record.
The gift of music.
So I've chosen Radiohead. you see, I always say, as I say every time,
it's not really
a free choice. No. Because if I choose something she...
I'll glass him.
Exactly. I always feel pressured into choosing things that I think she'll like, which really isn't a free choice,
is
it?
Yeah, no, not really.
But I think... There's common ground, isn't there?
Sure.
And I think I love this, and
okay.
I think you will too. Okay. Gene Kahn, was that all there was? Was that all it was?
It's easy for you to say.
forever. Was that all?
Like that?
I loved it, and it's when I heard the first few bars, I was like, "No, I don't know," but I love it. And then I was like, "Of course, I recognise it."
Yeah,
well
it's
done.
Been used on film soundtracks.
Good choice.
And stuff,
good
but
choice.
It was originally from 1979.
Yeah, oh,
Gene Kahn. I screwed up the title. Yes, was that all it was?
Oh well, I didn't know it because I wasn't born then. Producer Nick.
Yeah.
You know I like to give our listeners take home.
You do.
Can you please tell me what you've learned from today's show?
I've learned that I need to visit Breaking Convention at Sadler's Wells on the Bank Holiday weekend.
Mm.
And I need to go and see Pat Lynch's play at the White Bear in Kennington.
Yes. Nice. What score do you think Pat gives himself out of 10?
Oh, 8.
I probably 7.
Oh, just 7.
Reasons given earlier.
Just 7. Yeah. Kevin Keegan. Thank you. I need to say goodbye and thank my guests. Thank you, John ZD. Breaking Convention is at Sadler's Wells and Lillian Baylor's studio from Friday the 3rd to Sunday the 5th of May. For news and updates, go to breakingconvention.com. And for tickets, visit sadlerswells.com. Also, for updates on all John Z's brilliant projects, follow him on Twitter at John ZD. Thank you, Patrick Lynch. Gone with Wendy is at the White Bear in Kennington from Tuesday the 4th to Thursday the 16th of May. Tickets from whitebeartheatre.co.uk/what's on. Gone with the Wendy. And most of all, thank you for listening. What are you saying?
Tuesday the 14th.
What did I say?
4th.
What did I say?
Tuesday the 4th.
Tuesday the 14th.
Yeah, the 14th.
Yeah. I don't think I said the 14th, 4th. 15th, did I say the 4th?
I can't remember.
Tuesday the 14th.
Anyway, just across the road.
Thursday the 16th of May. Jesus. Most of all, everyone, thank you for listening. That's it from me, BB Lynch. Until next time, stay tuned to your wonderful Soho Radio. And I'll leave you with the Delphonics. Didn't I blow your mind this time? I'm so sorry if I did. Love you, Soho. Get this thing through your head.
like you.